Good morning. Welcome to Art Focus. I am your host, Wendy Webb, standing in for the lovely Ava Lake. Today on the show, we will be talking about the upcoming exhibit, Her Presence in Colors, the 9th International Women's Artist Exhibition. This is the first time the event will be held in the United States. Her Presence in Colors began in 1993 and has exhibited all over the world and included women artists from over 24 different countries who come together to support each other and foster a sense of community among women artists. It's been held in countries such as China, Vietnam, Australia. This year's theme is the self-portrait, and we will be talking about the works in the show, challenges for women artists today, and what it's like to bring all these women together from all over the world. Our guests today are Yuna Kim. Yuna is co-chair of the exhibit, and she also teaches art at PCC and PSU. We also have Karen Swallow, who is co-chair of the exhibit as well and president of the Oregon Women's Caucus for the Arts, and Madeline Janovic, who is founder of the Oregon's Women's Caucus for the Arts and a presenting artist in the exhibit. All of our guests today are presenting works in the exhibit. Thank you, ladies, for being here.
Hello, this is Yuna.
And Madeline Janovic.
And Karen Swallow. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, ladies. Yuna, can you tell us about the exhibit and this importance of community among women artists, and why is it important?
The importance of this exhibition is that as a Korean-American immigrant artist living in Portland, it was always important to me the diversity of minority groups are represented. That was my big career goal. And this is one of the ways I could do this. So I jumped right in. But the work has been amazingly a lot. And it's about to happen, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about it.
Thank you. And what is the history? How did this get started? Who started it, and where did it start?
Dr. Yun Chi Ling, who has a Conservatory of Fine Arts in Malaysia, Penang, and she and her friends, seven Chinese women to be exact, in 1993 began Her Presence in Color. And that happened in China. And every other year, we've been carrying the torch. So it has happened in London, England, Australia, Korea being one of them. And when I was invited to join in 2006 in Daegu, South Korea, I started to see the possibilities of having one of these things. But in United States, I didn't open my mouth until 2007 on the eve of joining Beijing show in 2008. I just threw it the idea and the ball started going all on its own. Now it's going to be here and happening next week.
And what was your experience like when you got to Korea, the first Her Presence in Colors? What was your feeling being there, and what did you see in terms of the variety of the work?
A couple of professors who were involved with it are friends of Oregon, the Oregon Women's Caucus for Art, and we've had many cultural exchanges in exhibitions and friendships. They invited me, and I couldn't physically be there, so I left my work and left. But the door was open. 2008 is when it actually happened. Madeline Janovic and I were at the council meeting, and Vietnam politely declined. We are not ready, and everybody looked at us. So we go, what? Things, begin funny, and that's how it began. And now we're gonna bring it here, but. Portland, frankly, has not had this kind of a big festival, lots of, minority women or a lot of women from, I think our country count is about 22 or 23. And we began with a large number of constituents, participants, but now it's coming down to a smaller size. I think that's due to the airline tickets being so pricey at the moment. But it's going to be a fantastic show, all in all.
And what do you think is the significance of Portland being the first United States, this location for the U.S. exhibit? It's not New York or L.A., and kind of, Portland has that sense of community that's a big part of it. Do you think that's why it's been a bridge to bringing that over here? And I'd like to hear what Madeline and Karen also have to say about that?
Well, when I was in Daegu, South Korea, and I was presented with the catalog and said, we'd like to invite you to this exhibition in Beijing in 2008, I went through the catalog. I said, wow, this is really quite something. It was marvelous. So when Yoon and I both went to Beijing, and we went to the council meeting, and everyone sort of looked at us and said, we want to come to the U.S. And, of course, immediately that runs across my mind is that we have this organization here that has been going back and forth to Korea since 1990, 2000. And so I thought, this is another step up for the Women's Caucus for Art in the state of Oregon. Yay. So, of course, it's been a massive undertaking. There have been many, many, many people that have stepped forward. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see how the maturity of the Women's Caucus for Art has come forward to create this marvelous event, which will happen next week.
And Madeline, you started the Oregon's Women's Caucus for the Arts, is that right?
Yes, in 1986 or 87, we can't quite remember.
And what was going on at the time that you felt the need to do that?
Well, I had gone to the National Women's Caucus for Art, which is always in tandem with the College Art Association. And I said, whoa, this is pretty damn exciting, because you were involved with a lot of the women who are really doing the forefront around the United States. So I thought, this needs to come to Oregon, because I'm a little isolated person here in Oregon, and I want things to happen here. So it's been up and down. And so I think we have a very healthy group of women artists coming together at this point.
And so as you brought all these women together, and there's many different languages, there's probably very different beliefs about art, about creativity, various trainings, techniques. What are some experiences that you've had that you've encountered, and that you had to really sit and put your heads together and go, how do we make this work? How can we avoid this being the UN?
Well, one of the things that's going on with the group is that all the artists are coming in separate airlines. So the big problem is, how do you get them from their plane to their hotels? And all of those little tiny minute details, plus getting the artwork by mail or some coming in suitcases, how can we present our country to them? This is the first time they've come to the U.S. of A. So as I said, the Women's Caucus for Art has pulled together and formed a very cohesive and very mature group of people that are pulling this together.
And there's a system in place, I think, you know, you were telling me, of sort of someone has someone they're sponsoring, or like a sister in the group, or there's been some stuff put in place to help people who are really new to the U.S.?
Once it was decided that the U.S. is going to host this year, once that was decided in Beijing in 2008, I shifted into a different position where looking at the event from host point of view. And we dealt with our share in little hotel rooms with somebody's laptop. So I wanted to expand that. So we included art share, where we simply talk about why we do what we did, how we did it, and question Q&A sessions. And the topic of our theme of our show is self-portrait art made out of desperate need. And I came up with that phrase because I wanted to ask all artists, reflect upon why we do what we do and not create formulaic art. Not that they were, but I wanted it to be a powerhouse showcase of international women artists where, you know, we don't do repetitive work, but we were doing something just for this show, and how could we have a really strong presentation. So I came up with a phrase. What ended up happening is this wording went out all over the world. And it doesn't literally have to be self-portraits. This got lost in translation. Many foreign guests, international artists, did do self-portraits. Really powerful. Because of that, it became up to be really strong. Many English speakers got the loose translation of it. I operated with this notion because all art works made by an artist are supposed to be self-portraits, reflective of your thoughts and processes. So it didn't make, you know, much difference to me whether they were or not. But see how the words and verbiage got translated.
Yeah, and even in, among the artists in general, there are such different interpretations of self-portrait. And looking at both at all of the works that you all are showing, you all have more abstract, liberal interpretations of self-portrait. And I know, Yuna, your piece, Moments of Truth.
Yes.
If you could talk a little bit about your piece and your influences, and we talked about Rembrandt and Van Gogh, which did literal portraits as well with kind of little nuances, right, mixed in.
Right.
And, yeah.
My particular piece is about being a mom, working mom, really busy, and I need to be a mom before anything, but it's challenged, and my studio hours are always challenged. So I have this, came up with a program where I cut up little panels and take it with me wherever I go. I drop down and do a little panel. So this piece is made of a bunch of little panels, pieces, piecemeal. And that's how I am. My self-portrait is into pieces. And they come together to make a sense out of, you know. So it's got children's toys glued in it. I'm hiding the piece from children. My 7-year-olds are not okay for me to use their toys. Of course, it's all on the floor. So I just pick up as I walk through the house. And, you know, my what I've learned in art school as an art instructor, what I know, how to do color theory I teach. So a lot of colors are there, a lot of painting, drawing. So it's,
So your self-portrait is playful, but it's also indicative of how your energy is split all different directions, trying to live an artist's life, but then be a mom, be a teacher, be a wife.
Right. I'd adapted a format. It's into pieces, but coming together, trying to make a coherent sense, whole scene.
And Madeline and Karen, I was reading about your pieces, and Madeline, you talk about the earth being an inspiration for you, and Karen, you discuss the Qing being an influence for you. Maybe we'll start with Karen. Can you talk about that inspiration and how you feel that comes through in your piece, and your piece is called No Beginning, No End?
Correct. I put an image of a Buddha. There are photographs that are on rice paper. And then I put a portrait of myself as a 4-year-old. So I perceive that as Buddha nature. I do think that after that innocence is broken, we have a hard road back to gain Buddha nature by practice and a whole lot of meditation and self-reflection. And then it was interesting because one of the people in the group was a Christian and found it very surprising that it would be okay to put a Buddha in a painting, but a Christian image would create a lot of discomfort. And that happened between this other artist and myself in a painting that she did have. A Jesus on a cross. And so it has been very challenging and interesting and helpful to think that in the creation of it, it's definitely an unconscious self-reflection, not a conscious one really, but that when other people look at it, and then there's a whole other aspect of art for all of us. And then when I look at all the images for this show, there are very few religious, there's no iconography from in Beijing there were, because this theme was peace. So there were some images there of other religions.
But for this show? Or
no, for 2 years ago.
There was a past show was peace, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But this one, it seems maybe mine is the only one that has a religious symbol in it, although it's more a philosophy in a sense. It's not necessarily religion, so
more
it's
spiritual.
Spiritual. And the pieces by the women are so strong. They're very cultural. They show often, except for the American images, a cultural nuance, a color, a use of color, a different.
You can see national identity in the pieces?
I definitely can. But I'm really tuned into culture because I'm with immigrants every day of my life because I teach English as second language. Mm-hmm. So I'm immersed in culture and visual connotations from every country.
And so I want to tell our listeners, we are talking today about the upcoming Her Presence in Colors, which will be exhibited at Littman Gallery at PSU, and that's opening August 3rd. It's the 9th International Women's Artists Exhibition, bringing together works of over 60 different artists. 24 of them are American artists from 20 different countries. And you can get more information about the exhibit at www.art-her.com. And we're going to go to Madeline. You have talked about how you are influenced by the earth. And does that come through in your piece for your self-portrait in the show? Do we see that influence?
What I was referring to was the experience I've had in my life of living in the woods for over a decade and the transformation I had there. And I've always been interested in Eastern thought. And I was living up the gorge, the Columbia River Gorge, and it had a deep permanent, deep into me. And even though I'm living in the city now, sometimes I have to go back to that. But it's very difficult for me to explain in words what that depth was about. When I'm in a plane, I scan the earth if it's not cloudy. There's a connection. There's something that's beyond me. And there's an artist that I have come across, Zhao Wu Qi, who, to me, showed the struggle I was having between this interest in the Eastern thought philosophy and the Western. And he melded that for me. And I understood, because he's been in Paris now since 1945. But when I was in Daegu and China, I began to understand, I understood Asian art again, because their depth of understanding of the... Now, back to the portrait. Mm-hmm. It's done from a mirror, and it's not, you know, some glamorous type of thing, and there's only a part of my face, and so I don't know how else to describe it. It's just, it's going beyond me.
And what I'm hearing from all of you is that your work is, and your experience as an artist is very spiritual and philosophical. And I'm curious, because as I've taught women in cinema and women's studies and cultural studies, I've discovered that you're not born a feminist, right? But there is something that is inherently feminine about arriving at a spiritual place, and or do you feel that way? And what is your experience as a woman artist?
Well, for me, giving birth to my only child at home was an unbelievable experience for me, because I didn't have a midwife, and I just had a chiropractor come in at the last minute. So I had the full brunt. And then, of course, when he was leaving, he said, "What are you going to do with this afterbirth?" Oh, oh dear. So I was immersed in the whole process, and it affected my artwork for a decade. And so it primed me for, yes, I'm a woman. Yes, I have another way that my art comes about. There are these other things that are my core. And of course, I'd gone through the school system, you know, and at my time when I was going to school and college, I only had male teachers, and they helped the boys over there. They didn't help me. I had to struggle the whole time, my art career, the whole time. I had to seek out people that would listen to me. You know, it was a hard struggle.
I noticed on the website for the Oregon's Women's Caucus for the Arts that you have a quote by Judy Chicago. And I know that Judy Chicago has talked about the painter Judy Chicago and her famous book, Through the Flower. I know she has talked also about the struggle to be understood by her male teachers or to please them, and then eventually just sort of saying, you know, whatever, man, I got to figure this out. I got to have my own experience, and it just is going to look totally different. And how, other than Judy Chicago, or what you think about her art, what other women artists have been an inspiration to you? Or
Alice Neal.
Mm-hmm. Boy, she had some really interesting portraits. What is your favorite, or what's a significant one for you?
Her nude self-portrait, 82.
Mm-hmm. Sweet piece. Very sweet piece.
I love Louise Bourgeois' work as well. And what I hear from all of you, and particularly with this theme, is this idea of self-reflexivity. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard road. But it's, I know, Una, you feel it's a necessary one for
Absolutely.
Art to come from the heart.
Absolutely. I don't think art should be a mere substitute. I don't think it comes from you doodling. Well, it may. However, it does involve your essence and your core. Without confronting that, I don't think you could create a strong work of art.
And you have to look at the past also. You have to go back and see what's been done before and why. That doesn't mean that you're going to copy it, but it helps to make your core and your footing.
I've been really taken by a neighbor who's a very strong artist and unable to bear children. And it was fascinating to watch her go through the process of creating art pieces that had to do with the uterus and the birth mm-hmm. process and the egg and the sperm and the not some looking at the art, you wouldn't know that necessarily was it, but the story is there. So, and it's the healing process that it creates for her. And she will create now she has a child after 7 years, she will create other pieces. But that body of work is so substantial.
And you all teach art, or you teach even English as a second language, but you're all teachers. And what do you see in your young artists? What are your frustrations, or how do you watch their work grow? How do you nurture an artist?
Well, one of the first things I try to explain to the students is to get grandma and grandpa off your shoulder and get them out of your ear. Do your life. You look for your life. It's yours. Go for it.
And so I don't know if you all know Julia Cameron, but she talks a lot about being an amateur, being a newcomer at everything that you do as you arrive at your creative process, that you got to screw up, you got to make mistakes, you got to make art all the time. Is that your experience?
As an art teacher in town, I don't want to spoon feed my students. I have a 17-year-old son who's about to go on his own in college. And I have so much I want to tell him nightly. I want to sit him down and listen, in these situations, you do this, you do this. But I realize, oh, honey, it's your journey. You need to go on and get hurt and heart gets heartbroken. You know, mommy will be there. But it's sort of like that. I could only do so much, but it's up to my students to carry on. And you wish them luck and you give them lots of support, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. Know how to dealing with the situations. It's all puzzles, you know, and you need to look for these missing pieces. But it is your own journey, and when you get down to it, hopefully things I've done before you would make sense. Hence the reason why I draw lots of wisdom from artists I will talk about during the seminar. Caravaggio, Rembrandt, Van Gogh, and Carlo. You know, these are the examples. They didn't do it because they were having such a good time in Mexico. They did it out of pain, quite exquisite, you know, and they documented it. And that's real wisdom, real legacy, chain link. You have it all there.
So art really as transcendence in some way is really important to you.
Another thing I feel my responsibility is to give a good footing, a foundation to that student. And you know, give them, this is where you go to get this information. This is what you, if it's possible, try to read this book. Try to, you know, that's what I can do too. Not tell them how to do it, but help them to see and to guide.
And so in terms of looking at the experience of women artists, I'm curious, what are the biggest challenges that you see? How is it distinctively different than the male artist experience?
Women artists tend to isolate themselves, and they don't understand that they really do need a support system, because what they do is very different than what men artists do. And I think that they need that camaraderie, and they need to have people that can help them through, because life is just going to come batting them around. If they're really serious about being an artist, they've got to have some help.
That is, so again, community, which is what this exhibit is all about, mm-hmm. And then even the title, Her Presence in Colors, this idea of kind of accepting a sense of diversity among the community. And so as the public comes into this exhibit, what kind of experience of community do you think that they'll see in the work? There's paintings and there's multimedia.
There are a few ceramic pieces that are very strong, too. There's a sculptural piece, but the majority is actually oil paintings. And, well, this camaraderie comes from the women seeing each other every 2 years, and now we're just flooded in. Portland is really a vibrant city, and this strong group is now in this stream. It means a huge jump up in our career and future for us to leave and go to Vietnam. I have shown in China in the past, but I mean.
And so this is a real triumph, this exhibit, and it's taken a lot of organization. And there's also going to be an artist talk, and that is on the 5th, I believe, Una, that you are leading a panel. And what are some things that will be talked about?
On the August 2nd, Monday, they arrive and we try to put the show together. And that's when we have a reception at the city hall. The mayor is scheduled to speak, and we have a keynote speakers, guests coming. The Tuesday, the 3rd, is a forum at EcoTrust. Begins at 10 o'clock. That's an international forum, tradition to Her Presence in Color. A lot of international participants will speak, and it will be brief, but there will be many of those. So it will be jam-packed day, a brief break for lunch. Wednesday is we do our museum gallery walk that doesn't involve the public. 5th is a seminar at 1 o'clock at Shadow Hall Annex at PSU. The call for papers went out, and with the committee selected, and we're going to do it. And the top heading is South Portrait Art Made Of. Desperate Need, 5 panelists. I myself am one of them, and I chair that one. And there is a reception at Lehman. Big time party time. And the 6th is we're hosting a big banquet at the Native American Center at PSU.
Thank you, ladies. Again, for listeners, we have been talking about the upcoming exhibit at Littman Gallery at PSU called Her Presence in Colors. It's the 9th International Women's Exhibit. And we've been speaking with Una Kim and Madeline Janovic and Karen Swallow, who are also all members of the Oregon's Women's Caucus for the Arts. And Self-Portrait Made of Desperate Need is the exhibit theme, and it sounds like it will be a really fascinating show. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you for having us.
Wendy Webb for Art Focus.
KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.